wasn't having one?" the woman said. "Hardly. He was talking to me at the time, quite lucidly. No sign of discomfort, just annoyance. Then the web told me it was going to attempt defibrillation. Needless to say, he became quite agitated at that point."
"And what happened then?"
"I started to try and remove the web, but with all the lines running into him, I realized it was going to be impossible in the seconds I had before the defib began. I had no choice but to get away from Balcazar. I might have been killed myself had I been touching him."
"He's lying," the medic said.
"Ignore him," Skye said placidly. "He's bound to say that, isn't he? I'm not saying this was deliberate." He allowed the word to linger, so that it would at least have time to settle in people's imaginations before he moved on. "I'm not saying this was deliberate. Just a terrible mistake due to overwork. Look at the two of them. These two men are close to nervous exhaustion. It's no wonder they started making mistakes. We shouldn't blame them too much for that." There. When the conversation was replayed in people's memories, what would stick out would not be Skye trying to weasel out of accepting the blame himself, but Skye being magnanimous in victory, even compassionate. They would see that and applaud, while at the same time conceding that some blame should still be apportioned to the sleepwalking medics. They would see no harm in that, Skye thought. A great and respected old man had died under regrettable circumstances. It was only right and proper that there should be some recrimination. He had covered himself well. An autopsy would establish that the captain had indeed died from heart failure, although neither the autopsy nor the memory readout from the prosthetic web would ever quite elucidate the precise chronology of his death.
"You did very well," Clown said.
True, but Clown deserved some credit as well. It was Clown who had told him to unbutton the tunic when Balcazar was asleep, and Clown who had shown him how to access the web's private functions, so that he could program it to deliver the defibrillating pulse, even though the captain was as well as he had ever been lately. Clown had been clever, even if on some level Skye knew that this knowledge had always been his. But Clown had dredged it from his memory, and for that he was thankful. "I think we make a good team," Skye said under his breath. Skye watched the bodies of the men tumble into space. Valdivia and Rengo had died by the simplest means of execution available aboard a spacecraft, asphyxiation in an airlock, followed by ejection into the vacuum. The trial into the old man's death had taken up 2 years of ship time. Grindingly slow as appeals were lodged, discrepancies found in Skye's account, but the appeals had failed and Skye had managed to explain the discrepancies to almost everyone's satisfaction. Now a retinue of senior ship's officers crowded around the adjacent portholes, straining for a glimpse into the darkness. They had already heard the dying men thumping on the door of the airlock as the air was sucked from the chamber. Yes, it was a harsh punishment, he reflected, more so given the already overstretched medical expertise aboard the ship. But such crimes could not be taken lightly. It hardly mattered that these men had not meant to kill Balcazar with their negligence, although that lack of intention itself was open to doubt. No, aboard a ship, negligence was itself scarcely less a crime than mutiny. It would have been negligent, too, not to make examples of these men.
"You murdered them," Constanza said, quietly enough so that only he heard it. "You may have convinced the others, but not me. I know you too well for that, Skye."
"You don't know me at all," he said, his voice a hiss.
"Oh, but I do. I've known you since you were a child."
She smiled exaggeratedly, as if the two of them were sharing an amusing piece of